Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.
The T-Biz Podcast delivers tea news that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for tea professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
Tea nourishes and inspires. It is an ancient plant-based medicine that simultaneously heals and energizes the body as it soothes the mind. Making fine tea is a blend of artistry and craftsmanship. The $200 billion tea trade is fundamentally local, yet exerts global influence, employing millions to enhance the well-being of all.
Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headlines. Private label tea triumphs over big brands in British blind tastings. Bigelow Tea breaks ground on a $70 million production facility. Kenya resumes an idled criminal investigation of KTDA finances. Plus, tapping into the global well-being opportunity. A newly published report by Circana finds that 78% of consumers actively practice self-care to enjoy optimal physical, mental, and social balance. Instead of expensive doctor visits and pharmaceutical remedies, they seek to prevent illness and relieve stress by consuming healthy foods and beverages, including tea. According to the American Psychological Association, nearly 8 in 10 psychologists have reported seeing an increase in the number of patients with anxiety disorders since the beginning of the pandemic. Awareness of tea's ability to relax and relieve anxiety and stress is growing, which is evident in functional formulations pairing tea with herbs. Sally Lyons Wyatt, the chief advisor for Consumer Goods and Food Service Insights at Circana, joins T-Biz today to discuss new findings on self-care in a report that identified more than 55 ways consumers activate their well-being. This data-rich, free-to-download 15-page report shows how tea companies can support consumers' wellness journey. More in a minute, but first, this important message.
What makes a perfect cup of Ceylon tea? The perfect cup is from the tea businesses that ensure the protection of all the children living within their tea estates. We salute Keilani Valley, Telawakili, Bogawanthalawa, Harana, and Eliptia Tea Estates. Support Save the Children, Sri Lanka.
Difficult economic times have caused well-known British tea brands to complain about lost share to market-owned offerings due to lower prices. But a blind taste of storied blends, including PG Tips, Tetley, Twinings, and Yorkshire Tea, came up short when compared to Asada, Sainsbury's, and Waitrose. The tastings, organized by Which, asked an expert panel of 79 experienced tea drinkers to sample 12 teas and assess aroma, appearance, mouthfeel, and aftertaste. Which writes, quote, "Big teabag brands tend to have loyal followings, but our taste test reveals it's worth trying supermarket-owned brand options, as you might be pleasantly surprised by what you discover." Asada took the top spot, and it's half the price per cup of big brand options, end quote. Tasters awarded Asada's everyday tea bags a 72% on a scale of 100, noting the retail price of 52 pence per 100 grams or 2 pence per tea bag. Quote, "Our tasters gave it high marks for aroma and appearance, and more than two-thirds thought the color was just right. They also liked the mouthfeel of this tea and its bitter tea twang. A majority thought the flavor was spot on, writes Witch. Sainsbury's Red Label tied Tetley and PG Tips for second place. Private Label Aldi, Waitrose, and Co-op 99 blend Fair Trade Tea tied with Yorkshire Tea for third at 70%. Teas from Tesco and Twinings received the lowest scores at 67%. Euroweek News reported, quote, "The competition was tight with just a 5% difference between the top and bottom scores," end quote. All the supermarket teas displayed either Fair Trade or Rainforest Alliance logos comparable with the bigger brands. The most expensive tea was Twinings Every Day at £4.80 per 80 bags. Yorkshire was priced at £3.30 per 80 bags, and Tetley and PG Tips sell for £3 per 80 tea bags. The supermarket teas were priced from 1 to 2 pence per tea bag, or £1.25 for 80 bags. Business Insight. High food inflation has accelerated sales of private label offerings. Retailers are investing in food and beverage microfactories to lower costs and improve quality. In the U.S., the Food Marketing Institute, an industry association, published Power of Private Brands 2023, a report that found more than 95% of consumers are buying private label products at least occasionally, and then a substantial 46% are purchasing store brand items most or all of the time. U.S.-based Bigelow Tea is constructing a 265,000-square-foot tea production, packaging, storage, and distribution facility near Louisville, Kentucky. During groundbreaking ceremonies, Cindy Bigelow, Chief Executive Officer and President of Bigelow Tea, praised Senior Director of Engineering John Bruins, quote, "for his commitment to talking to almost every employee over the last 2 years to ensure that this facility is built to include everyone's needs," end quote. The $70 million facility is located on a 20-acre plot, which allows for future expansion of 75,000 square feet as needed, according to a Bigelow press release. "Local capacity will double to 2.2 billion tea bags annually," said Bigelow. "The site work begins immediately with the main construction after the first of the year and completion in 2025. The Connecticut-based tea company operates three manufacturing facilities in the U.S. The new facility will include 25,000 square feet of planned office space and is located about a mile from the company's existing facility, which has been in operation for the past 30 years. The Directorate of Criminal Investigations, DCI, has summoned a former Kenya Tea Development Agency official to provide documents related to a 2021 investigation into alleged mismanagement and possible embezzlement of 600 million Kenyan shillings. During a meeting inducting newly elected KTDA directors, President William Ruto said he would investigate a forensic audit report alleging misconduct during former President Uhuru Kenyatta's administration. Last week, Kenya's DCI Economic Crimes Unit summoned Dr. John Kennedy Omanga, a former company secretary at KDTA. DCI is seeking previously undisclosed documents dating to a 2021 investigation. Omanga was fired by KTDA in July 2021. Financial irregularities were documented in a confidential 130-page report compiled by forensic auditors from the Attorney General's Office, the National Intelligence Service, and the Asset Recovery Agency. The report was submitted to then-Attorney General Paul Kihara Kariuki on July 9, 2021. The report revealed a discrepancy in cash that should have been distributed to farmers based on sales at KTDA's 54 tea factories. KTDA engaged in money-losing real estate deals and paid outside lawyers $101 million for work that could have been done by in-house lawyers, according to the report. The audit report also revealed that a potential 3 billion Kenyan shillings remained in accounts at two commercial banks. No charges were brought in the case. Enos Nejo, the newly appointed KTDA chairman, told The Nation he hopes to recover millions of shillings lost before he assumes office for a second term. Quote, "As a board, we want farmers to get back their money," end quote, said Nejo. The Nation reported that Amaga has denied any role in losing the cash. Quote, "I was not in any way involved in any cash transactions while there," end quote, Omega told reporters. Next, Arvinda Anantharaman in Bengaluru reports on this week's India Tea News.
India Tea News for the week ending 13th September 2024. The festival season coming up in India, this is the time of year when tea gardens in the north announce the annual bonus. In North Bengal, which is Darjeeling and the Duars, for the first time, 8 major tea garden workers, trade unions, have decided to unite. And this happened just ahead of the second round of talks regarding bonus. The bonus is decided between the unions and the planters association and ranges from a minimum of 8.33% of the workers' annual earnings to 20%. The second round of talks were held in Kolkata this week, and unions began their negotiations with 19% as the ask. The planters have responded that they will not be able to pay in excess of 10%. The third round of discussions is expected around the 20th to 21st of this month. Talks in Assam have not yet begun. In other news, the 10th annual meeting of the Federation of All India Tea Traders Association, or FAITTA, took place in Guwahati last week. Speaking at the meeting was Sanjay Shah, the association's chairman. He noted an increase in packet tea sales over loose tea. He also expressed concern about the market's inability to absorb recent price increases. And he noted that Indian exports are gradually improving. While 2023 saw 228 million kilos exported, 2024 has seen tea prices surge by 46%, he said. Mr. Shah also added that the FAITTA have submitted a food safety roadmap for tea to the Food Safety and Standards Authority of India, and this covers good agricultural practices and integrated pest management.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Nish. I grew up in an organic tea farm and I founded Nepal Tea Collective in 2016. Tea is not just a beverage for me, but a catalyst for social change, sustainably empowering hardworking artisans like my parents for the past 30 years. I'm on a mission to make the whole world aware of the goodness of Nepali teas and the good that comes from supporting growers in this remarkable land. If you haven't tasted Nepali teas yet, you're missing out. Our award-winning teas are making headlines. Find out why. Visit Nepal Tea Collective's website to get a free sample of this extraordinary taste of the Himalayas. That's nepalteacollective.com. Or just send me an email at nish@nepalteacollective.com. Cheers.
A newly published report by Circana finds that 78% of consumers actively practice self-care to enjoy optimal physical, mental, and social balance. Instead of expensive doctor visits and pharmaceutical remedies, they seek to prevent illness and relieve stress by consuming healthy foods and beverages, including tea. According to the American Psychological Association, nearly 8 in 10 psychologists have reported seeing an increase in the number of patients with anxiety disorders since the beginning of the pandemic. Awareness of tea's ability to relax and relieve anxiety and stress is growing, which is evident in functional formulations pairing tea with herbs. Sally Lyons Wyatt, the chief advisor for Consumer Goods and Food Service Insights at Circana, joins TBiz today to discuss new findings on self-care in a report that identified more than 55 ways consumers activate their well-being. This data-rich, free-to-download 15-page report shows how tea companies can support consumers' wellness journey. Sally Lyons Wyatt is the Global Executive Vice President and Chief Advisor for Consumer Goods and Food Service Insights at Circana, a leading advisor on the complexity of consumer behavior. Her skills include analyzing big data to develop consumer and shopper insights and consumer relationship management. She graduated from the University of Alabama and began her career at Smith Kline Consumer Products. She joined AC Nielsen in 1991 and worked as a top-level executive for more than 20 years at IRI and Symphony IRI Group, joining the company as a senior vice president in January 2001. She was twice named to the Top Women in Grocery list and is the executive sponsor of Circana's Early Career Professional Business Resource Group. Thanks so much for coming on the T-Biz podcast today. I'm excited by your research, and I want to share your thoughts with our readers and listeners.
Thank you for having us. I'm so excited to be here, and we are very proud of the work we did on well-being and hope that your listeners will find it beneficial to them.
Sally, you talked about people's physical well-being and, most importantly, their perception of their physical well-being and commitment to losing weight or exercising daily, for example. There is now a much more sophisticated approach to health and wellness.
It is interesting because we talk to consumers and then we also can study some of the point of sale information. And when we do that, part of what we learned is the following. You've got 49% of consumers that considered improved physical health as a top benefit of just self-care, what they're doing to help themselves. Weight management comes in second at 35%, and then disease prevention at 30%. Increased energy is the fourth, with 29% of consumers saying that that's a top. As you think about what are the ways that consumers use food and beverage to assist them, it is around, again, just the functionality of food and beverage, but it's also helping them in maintaining their weight. Maybe it's even helping with sleep, could be also helping with focus. So there, it has evolved than just being about eating and drinking. We've seen the lines blurring across food and beverage where you might have had a supplement that would have provided you help with sleep. And now that there's foods and beverages that are going to help you with sleep. So there is a bit of blurring going on that we've seen throughout the world. It also is interesting because not only food and beverage are trying to play a role in this physical well-being, but also other sectors like beauty and really talking about that skin is an organ and you need to treat it as such and keep it healthy. And therefore, we saw a big bump in consumers seeking brands that have clean ingredients. In fact, it was 71% of consumers are looking for clean ingredients in what they're looking for. But as we continue to do the research, especially on the health and well-being, weight management was obviously big. We do see beverages as part of that, especially functional beverages. We see digestive health being a focus for consumers. And you actually have 26% of consumers taking vitamins and supplements to support their digestive health. And what was also interesting is we can look at how often consumers walk into retail outlets. And we saw 24% more trips per year on consumer healthcare products versus non-users and around this gut health. So again, they're embracing it. And you can see a lot of different ingredients that are helping with that, whether it's prebiotics or cranberry or even fiber. We saw part of physical and the physical part of well-being also around oral care and in the impact that has on overall health and well-being. And we, interestingly enough, we saw things like oral irrigators having an increase in 18% in dollar sales, just showing some of the different ways consumers are looking at this physical well-being. And then lastly, as we kind of think about this from a specifically food and beverage, and I've mentioned it a little bit, but I think this blurring lends to the beyond the basic nutrition to getting into functional benefits that consumers are looking for. And so you've seen that whether they're looking for increased energy and some of the different products that come from that, especially with multiple claims, and that it could be around just pre and probiotics. It could be around the fact that it has X grams of protein, or it's no sugar or low sugar or low, no caffeine, but yet electrolytes. Like, there's just all sorts of functional beverages out there. But I think the connection between that and tea is that that need for hydration, because hydration is so important to everything I just told you, to the skin, to your digestive health, to your overall health. And as we were talking through this a little while ago, I think that that's where tea fits. But it's also having to break through the crowd, because now there's so many more beverages that are playing multiple roles that tea could be forgotten if we don't make sure consumers really understand the multiple benefits that tea has and how it fits into this physical part and the physical quest consumers have for well-being.
Speaking to you through this survey, who do you see demographically embracing these trends?
There's two segments. One is called the wise and healthy, and one is called healthy chic. They're on different sides of the spectrum. One's a little bit older, meaning wise and healthy, and then the other one's a little bit younger, healthy chic. And both quests embrace life with all the different aspects of well-being. That's the physical part, including not only the food, but the exercise. So there's exercise in there, but also the activities that they pursue, how the community and they engage from a mental well-being as well. So they really embrace it. So those two segments are the two that spoke to us the most as we were putting this together, and probably are key for future growth, because other segments are interested. Other segments have become more educated as we went through COVID. Other segments are definitely wanting to embrace it, but they might indeed be hit with the cost being a barrier and or time being a barrier. And I think for them, it's around how can we make kind of holistic well-being more affordable and accessible, so that no matter where you are on that continuum, you can embrace well-being and make your life a little bit better.
Your studies focused on the United States, but the United States in turn influences consumer habits elsewhere.
Well, the numbers in here were U.S.-based, to use as an example for a good portion of it, but we really did take a view across North America, EMEA, and APAC. There was absolutely alignment around the key drivers of well-being and the three trends from the research that we did. And those three, as we've kind of talked about in the past, is around embracing one's body for optimal physical health. The second was pursuing positive mental health for emotional well-being. And then the third is seeking community and social engagement to make a difference. As we move into the mental, the top benefits or goals that consumers have there is to reduce stress and anxiety, to get more sleep, to manage the moods, to have more motivation. Those four are kind of the key for the mental part of consumers' quest to a harmonized well-being. And then as we move and kind of get into the kind of social community, then the big areas there were in-person events, social media, kind of co-exploration, as well as sports and recreation. And I think that those four, it's really all about community. At the end of the day, it's all about community and how can I embrace community and be part of the community that's going to help me feel more harmonized in what I'm doing, not just on the physical side, but that mental, as well as that connection to others, the social part.
Tea delivers the benefits consumers seek at a reasonable price, but the marketplace is crowded with competitors. So there's been a lot of conversation about increasing tea consumption among young people, a priority of the United Nations Intergovernmental Group on Tea. Earlier this year, the UNIGG endorsed a global marketing effort under the social media hashtag Tea Power.
No pun, there's power in tea power. The social media platform is polarizing. There's positives and negatives to it. But one of the things that it can do is help educate. And if it's coming from a trusted source, then social media is a great place to get messaging, get the key points across. As you think about the global aspect of tea power and its abilities, partnering with retailer associations, getting retailers to help across the world to get this message across through their own media outlets, whether that's social, whether that's their retail media network, whether it's through their loyalty app, whether it's just signage in the store. It could be that simple. But to get the message out and to help educate and have consumers be able to go back to the main link to learn more, I think it's going to be key, because you talked about the older generation and how they transitioned to tea. If you can opt the younger consumers in earlier and get them to embrace it and have it more from a lifelong beverage as opposed to that end of the in life stages, right? You don't necessarily want to wait till then. You should start early. And I think that's where tea power comes in, and being able to help consumers learn the benefits, learn how to consume, learn how to make, right? I think there's all sorts of ways that that tea power can be leveraged, especially with a main landing site that can be leveraged by retailers, big, small, it doesn't matter, through their different ways. And again, it could be a signage store that says, learn more, learn about tea power. But the other piece of that would be to help it go viral in a good way, is to get people across the world to be really talking about it so it gets amplified in such a way that consumers do click and learn more. And I think it would be very, again, it, no pun, but kind of a pun, it's very powerful in that ability to do so.
Consuming healthy foods and drink is part of a daily routine. It is a form of preventative medicine, not a pharmaceutical remedy.
We're a global society going through COVID. There were a lot of consumers around the world that began to want to learn more about how to keep themselves as well as possible, manage, prevent disease states, and how they could prevent going to the doctor. And that has magnified over the last few years as we've had global inflation and the macroeconomic impact on consumers and the compounded impact of higher prices around higher costs to medicine. And again, the medicine one's a little different around the world. Some have it more accessible and affordable than others. So it's a very, that one's a little bit of a, like if you thought about the healthcare costs around the world, it's like a little roller coaster. Some are high, some are low, and you kind of have that going. But universally, consumers are being compounded no matter where they are around the globe with different expenses and different aspects of life that they're trying to manage. With that said, that then meant that people were leveraging their phones, which are also now universally used around the world, and that they can be used to be that encyclopedia of information, sometimes good, sometimes maybe not, but they are able to learn. And what I believe from what we saw has happened is that consumers are embracing this idea of self-care more now than ever before. In fact, 78% of consumers are indeed actively practicing self-care, which is a very high number, by the way. And part of that is in order to assist them in not having to spend elsewhere, to focusing on keeping them well so they don't have to visit a medical practitioner, that they can find a way to have that optimal balance of the physical, the social, the mental part that we've talked about. And that has then led to what you were talking about, is learning about tea, getting into that routine, more and more people embracing that. I still think there's more work to be done. I still think there's more ways to engage. But I think all of that led to consumers changing a lot of their old rituals, if you will, into some new ones, which has been embracing tea in the way that you described.
Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of TBiz journalists and tea experts? Remember to visit the TBiz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.